All right, good morning again. Yes. So we're in a sermon series where we're taking a look at the core values of our church. The core values of our church that define and guide who we are. We started out last week looking at a couple of them, which I'll review in a moment. I talked last week about the founder and former CEO of Apple and just Steve Jobs, and how he talked about, if we change our core values, I quit. Core values matter. We should never let it slide. We've got to be who we feel God has called us to be. I was reading this past week an article in an online magazine called Raleigh Today, and it just said this. I just want to share this. It said, Raleigh is 230 years old, and despite the ever-changing and growing nature of the city, institutions like classic local restaurants help keep the city's old soul alive. Sorry if this makes you hungry, but there's some restaurants that are very old. 1930, a restaurant called Mecca was started, and it's still going. You can go there and get a huge hamburger. Clyde Cooper's Barbecue. The Angus Barn, 1960. That's a long time. These core values of our community, and how much more important to be truly living in line with our core values as a church, as a people of God. And so we're going to look this morning at the next two core values. Last week, we looked at word and worship. We looked at the importance at Fellowship Raleigh of verse-by-verse teaching and how that is a core value. We also looked last week at the crucialness of Christ-exalting worship. That is one of our big core values. And so this morning, the sermon is titled Community and Mission, because we're going to be looking at core value 3 and 4, authentic church community and compassionate mission. And we're going to unpack these. And so let me just read to you a couple of passages of Scripture that these core values grow from and come out of, and then I'm going to pray, and then we're going to dive in. So Hebrews 10 is where I'm going to go first, and I'm just going to read verses 23 through 25. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. And then from Luke chapter 10, verse 33, but a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I'll repay you when I come back. Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? He said, the one who showed him mercy. And Jesus said to him, you go and do likewise. Let's pray. Bow with me and let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity that you've given to us this morning to gather, to sit here together and study your word. May it be a blessing, Lord, to our hearts, to our minds, and to our daily lives in so practical ways. God, we just ask that your Holy Spirit would bring clarity as we talk about these important values this morning together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're going to look first at authentic church community. Authentic church community. And I want to give you some key points, kind of what we mean by that, how we are unpacking that at Fellowship Raleigh. If you were to go to our website and click, I think it's about us, and go down to who we are, you get to our core values. And it would just read just like this. So under authentic church community, it would say, we are a community where the gospel of Jesus Christ frees us from pretending and performing and allows us to be our authentic selves, to commit to one another in the local church, and to truly grow together by the grace of God. So that's what we mean. So I want to read again in Hebrews 10 where this really comes from. There's so many scriptures you and I could go to for talking about community, but I want to read a little more here in Hebrews 10. This was the passage we just read. I'm going to start in verse 19 and go all the way to verse 25 so that we have the full passage. But let me just say, as I read verses 19 through 21, let me just tell you what's going on here. In verses 19 through 21, it's speaking about the work of Jesus Christ for you and me, what he's done, what he has done. And we see in these verses that he's given us confidence. He's given us access to the presence of God. He's given us the ability to be true and sincere. He's given us a full assurance of our faith. He's given us a clean conscience. He's given us a washed life. That's what these verses are about. Instead of telling you about it, let me read it to you. Verse 19, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places, by what? By the blood of Jesus. By the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain that is through his flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. And now verse 23 and 25 sort of are our response to what Christ has done. So look, verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. And watch this. This is another one of our responses to what Christ has done for us. Look at this. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Notice all the plurals, right? The concept of community is everywhere in the New Testament. You really can't read the New Testament and understand it without being part of a family, a local church. You certainly would have a hard time applying it. So look, you see this command, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Let me point something out to you that maybe you've seen before, but let me just say this. That's the command. So in terms of a command from the Lord to you and to me, God's people, that's the command. We often hear this verse, and it's used like, hey, the command is don't neglect gathering. You know what I'm saying? It's like, get to church, bro. That's what it is. You know, that's how we use it. And there's some good there. Like that's like probably a good thing. But the command is let us, plural, let's all of us, let us consider. That means to think about, to brainstorm, to whiteboard. Let's consider how to, you see it there? Stir up, how to really get in people's face and stir them up to love and to good works. So the command, that's the command. I don't want to be like a grammar nerd here, but I'm going to say it, okay? The modifying participle. Listen, well, all I'm saying is, listen, the activity that modifies the command is not neglecting to gather. Let me explain that. It's like if I said, run, win the gold medal, not neglecting tying your shoes and training with a team. Or get a PhD, learn, not neglecting reading and attending class. And it's just key to see this, right? Like the critical command is to be a people that are together and stirring each other up to love and good works. The fundamental and the essential thing that you have to do that is be a part of fellowship with other believers. That's the meaning here. And so I want to unpack authentic church community, and much of what I'm going to say here flows from this Hebrews 10 passage. So authentic church community is, and if you're taking notes, here's where we're jumping in. It is about gospel grace. Okay? Come as you are. Let me ask you, where is the place that you think is the most diverse and loving place that you or someone you know are free to be your true self and receive love? Hold that thought. I'm curious. I want to know, but I'm not asking. It's not like a raise your hand type thing. Listen, with this core value of authentic church community, we are declaring that the church of Jesus Christ, because we are all about gospel grace, is by far to be the most loving, most diverse, and most truly authentic place on earth. And second place should not even be close. That's what we're saying. Come as you are. Listen, the message of Christianity, Romans 5:8, God demonstrates his love for us. In that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. He doesn't meet you halfway. While we were sinners, Christ died for you. The Son of God came and gave his life for you and me, sinners. That's God's love demonstrated. Come as you are. The Bible says, there is neither Jew or Greek, slave or free, male or female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. That's not eliminating those distinctions, okay? It's acknowledging them and saying all are welcome at the cross of Christ. God does not see good and bad people. Rather, our holy and loving God sees sinners in need of a Savior, which he has provided in his Son, Jesus Christ. Friends, the ground is level at the foot of the cross. We are all sinners in need of gospel grace. And so if gospel grace is real, then we never need to pretend or perform. We're free from it. We can rest in Christ. Hebrews 10, we just read this, verse 19 and verse 22. It talks about we are confident, not in our performance. What did it say? It says, by the blood of Christ. So we're free from performing because Christ has performed for us, the blood of Christ. And we draw near with true hearts, not pretending hearts, because we don't need to pretend, because gospel grace has freed us from that. Listen, it is, and you know this is true, it is really popular today to say that you're inclusive. The push for being more inclusive. But a lot of what claims to be inclusive can actually be very exclusive if you don't fully support everything on the list of inclusions. Authentic church community is about gospel grace. Jesus says, come as you are. Amazing. That's authentic church community. Secondly, it is about life transformation. Authentic church community is about life transformation. It says, don't stay that way. While gospel grace says, come as you are, that's faith. It also says to every one of us, no exceptions. It doesn't say to any of you, you're good, stay that way. Every one of us, It says, don't stay that way. That's repentance. Christian life is a life of repentance. That word literally means to change. God could have given each of us a full upgrade at the moment of salvation, to where we would never struggle with anything ever again. He could have. Why would he not be able to do that? He totally could have. But he didn't. He will someday. That's called glorification. But God has chosen instead to have us be sinner saints who are in community with and growing together to be more like Jesus Christ. That's called sanctification. And so authentic church community is all about gospel grace. It's all about life transformation. Don't stay that way. It's also about living out the one another's of the New Testament. There are almost 60 commands in the New Testament that end with the phrase one another. Did you know that? You can't obey any of these commands by yourself. And you can do very few of them in a row at a church building on a Sunday morning. The implied context for living out the one another's of the New Testament is authentic church community. It's how we really walk together as followers of Jesus Christ. So, it's all about gospel grace. It's all about life transformation. It's all about living out the one another's. And it is, well, let me say one more thing about this. Look at Hebrews 10, 25, because that verse is the one that we read, and I just want you to see, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some. Here's a one another, okay? But encouraging one another. Watch this. And all the more. Just let that statement just rest on you this morning and challenge yourself with that. All the more. So like the picture of the writer of Hebrews for us as Christians is that as we cross the finish line going into glory, we are in the place of the most community we've ever been in. All the more. We're not slowing down. We're picking up speed. We're getting better at it. We're not reflecting back at the good old days when, yo, yeah, it was easy to have friends and be in community, but now I'm so busy. No, all the more. So just be challenged by that, I think, and encouraged. So number four, authentic church community is about committing to and prioritizing fellowship within the local church. This is just unpacking what we mean by this core value. It may have made more sense to just say authentic community. You know, you might say, why not? Why didn't it just say that? It's a little clunky, Matt. Do you not get with the brand and marketing department? Authentic community. Why throw the word church in there? Because the church, the ecclesia, is the bride of Christ, Ephesians 5. Jesus promises he will build not your community. He promises he will build his church, Matthew 16. So we just wanted to say it. Being part of the church, like the big picture bride of Christ, the capital C, the church, that's awesome. And that is what it's all about. Amen. But being part of a local church is where authentic community actually happens in the pages of the Bible and in 2021. So we value that unapologetically. We encourage that. We have fellowship groups. We have partner interviews, and we want to have partners meetings, and we want to encourage people to really be formally committed to their local church to fully experience what God has for them, an authentic church community. I'll close this point on community with a quote from Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And I know I put two T's by accident in his name, so please don't let that bother you. But that's how it is in community. It's authentic. So, but listen, like when he was a professor in an underground seminary during Nazi Germany, and he eventually was arrested by the Nazis and he was hung in 1945 in a concentration camp. And from this place of being an underground seminary professor in the true church in those days in Germany, he says, "It is easily forgotten that the fellowship of Christian brethren is a gift of grace, a gift of the kingdom of God, that any day may be taken from us. Therefore, let him who until now has had the privilege of living a common Christian life with other Christians praise God's grace from the bottom of his heart. Let him thank God on his knees and declare it is grace, nothing but grace, that we are allowed to live in community with Christian brethren." So authentic church community. Now let's look at compassionate mission, another core value of our church. And I'll read to you again what we say as we unpack this for people. From a posture of compassion, we are a church that is bold in personal evangelism and active in mercy ministry that meets the real needs around us. Our goal is to show our city and world the love of God in word and deed. A long time ago, this core value was two core values. It was bold evangelism and compassionate service. And we realized this is one move. This is one outreaching movement for our church, compassionate mission. And so let's put them together. So I want to show you in Luke 10. This is a very famous story. I mean, it may not be famous to everyone. It just depends on how familiar you are with the Bible. You've probably heard of the Good Samaritan. So this is a famous story in the New Testament. What's happening here is a lawyer, a Pharisee, has asked Jesus, "What do I have to do to get eternal life?" And so they go over some things, and this lawyer gives Jesus the great commandment to love God and with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Anyways, the man, it says in the text, the man wanting to justify himself, he asked, "Who's my neighbor?" Okay. And so then Jesus, instead of just saying like, "Well, what's your zip code? 27601 or 27601? Like, where are you? Let's figure this out right now. Let's try, like, I want to help you figure out how to be righteous before a holy God by perfectly loving." No. Jesus is like, what? He tells this story of a man who is robbed, stripped, beaten, left half dead. It's like this television show, What Would You Do? With John Quiñones on cable TV. So all these guys, they're walking by this man who's been left dead, half dead. A priest goes by. A Levite goes by. Jesus is telling this story, and you know he's loving telling the story. And he gets to the part where I want to read to you from Luke 10, 33. So here's what happens next. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. When he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, "Take care of him. And whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back." "Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers?" He said. The guy's like, "The one who showed mercy." And Jesus said to him, "You go and do likewise." Compassionate mission. All right. Now, this is a phenomenal story. Just like think about this for a moment. Just one thing of what you think about first. Instead of telling this man who his neighbor is, Jesus, you got to love Jesus. He tells a story where the hero is the actual neighbor that this man is trying to make sure he's not commanded to love, the Samaritan. Then, like a first grade class, Jesus forces him to identify from within the plot of the story who the hero was. He's like, so, who was it? Multiple choice, A, B, or C. Say it. It's interesting. The guy can't say it. He can't say the Samaritan. He says, the one who showed mercy. So steeped in hate for his neighbor. So compassionate mission looks like this good Samaritan, and I would say, and more. It looks like Jesus telling the story of the good Samaritan. But let's unpack it. So compassionate mission is loving my neighbor. It's about loving my neighbor. All mission as Christians, properly understood, stems from the second greatest commandment, to love your neighbor as yourself. It is in this story, at the beginning of the Good Samaritan story, where this lawyer asks Jesus, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life? Jesus says, what does the law say? And he answers, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. This is all through the Bible, these two commands. Love God, vertical. Love your fellow human, your neighbor, horizontal. That's the summation of God's expectations upon his people and upon all people. So, it's not complicated. It's about loving our neighbor. So compassionate mission is about loving our neighbor. Jesus makes it clear in this story that our focus should not be one of defensiveness, where we are seeking to find out who is and who is not our neighbor. Rather, our focus should be on being a neighbor. However, God does call us to place. And that's why I love this command to love your neighbor. It says in Acts 17 that God has allotted the periods and dwelling places and boundaries of our lives. We are to love our neighbor. We are to reach people with the love, the compassion, the mercy, and the good news of Jesus Christ within the rhythms and routines of our life, within our sphere of influence. Who are your two, we say? You have two arms, you can put two people in spiritual headlocks for compassionate mission. Who are your two? Your two neighbors, your two coworkers, your two family members, the people that you're seeking to love on. Because that's what Christian mission is, properly understood. So compassionate mission is about loving my neighbor. It's also about seeing and feeling real needs. So in this story, the priest and the Levite, you know, like the pastor and the worship leader, basically, they hurried by. They couldn't help. The Samaritan, if you look closely at the story, it's interesting. The Samaritan, first it says, he saw him. He saw him. He didn't see an inconvenience. He saw a human being made in the image of the Creator. He saw him. He didn't see an interruption in his hurried schedule. He saw him as a person who mattered. And he felt something. You see, I mean, the text goes out of its way to make sure that we see that when he saw him, he was overcome with, what does it say in verse 33? Compassion. If you were to do a little word study on compassion, it would just tell you that this word is about your guts. He felt something in his stomach, in his heart, in his guts. He saw him and he was burdened. And that's what mission is. That's what any authentic ministry is. Genuine ministry starts with a burden. Jesus saw the crowds. They were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. He was burdened. It bothered him. Paul, walking through Athens, saw all the altars and idols and misplaced worship, and it says he was pierced deeply within. He was burdened by all the misplaced worship by these people made in the image of their God. Genuine ministry starts with a burden. You feel it. I think about our church and how we do this well. We seek to. Studies we've done on single moms in Southeast Raleigh being 67% higher than the national average, which has moved us to want to minister to these families and to want to be in this place. Seeing the students that need some help at our neighbor, the college across the street, with tuition and doing a 5K to help meet those needs. Food insecurity at Washington Terrace, homelessness at Longview High School, just right across the way, and the ways that members of our church have led the way to care for those families. Because you feel it. The religious and irreligious lost in our city, and just recognizing that's not good to be lost like that. Walking around with one of our partners upstairs, the ministry in Nicaragua, walking around with him in Nicaragua and seeing all the people who live and eat and feed off of this trash dump in El Limonal, Nicaragua. Seeing the kids huffing glue and then running after a garbage truck and climbing onto it to try to grab things out of it before it gets to the dump where everyone else will have access to it so that they can then sell it and live off the pennies that they get. You can't unsee something like that. And so this ministry upstairs is like, we're building a community center right next to that dump to reach those families, to have soccer leagues, to have discipleship programs. I mean, it's just, you got to see it and feel it. That's compassionate mission. So number three, it's about mobilizing to meet real needs. So it's about loving my neighbor, about seeing and feeling real needs. It's about mobilizing to meet real needs. The Samaritan goes toward the man. That's really a fundamental difference, isn't it? A willingness to just go toward him. Incarnation, like how Christ came to earth. He didn't land on a cloud and summon us. Came, was born in a manger, took on human flesh, was a peasant. In the same way, this Samaritan goes to this person in a miserable condition. He was willing to stop what he was doing. He was willing to get dirty, to be unsafe, to spare his own stuff. He was sacrificial. He was willing to coordinate. He was willing to advocate. He was willing to make arrangements. He was willing to commit to an unknown level of generosity. Innkeeper's like, did you fill out a pledge card? He's like, yeah, make sure the decimal point is in the right spot there. No, he's like, hey, I don't even know how much it's going to cost. Charge it to my account. Unknown level of generosity. It's about mobilizing to meet real needs. I like this point here. I think about the 5K that we put on. And I think I just love this event because the reason we did it initially was we were thinking about how all churches are trying to reach people that are like religious lost people. Like at some point they went to church, and so it's like, how can we get them back? Like maybe some killer music and some really relevant sermons and an awesome kids ministry. And that there's a place for all of that. We were like, how do we really engage the people that aren't even looking for that? Like the church is as relevant to them as bingo halls. And we were thinking like, who is like a really, really unchurched community in Raleigh? And someone said the running community. Like running is their church. And I was like, yeah, like, let's try to reach them. Let's try to put on an event where they have to come to a church. and engage and rub shoulders with and get to know Christians. And then let's take the proceeds of the event and let's meet the needs of our neighbors across the street, helping meet a real need for college students that need help with their tuition to be able to graduate. And so that's where that 5K came from. But what I love about it is how our people mobilize. Just seeing so many people in the way that we mobilize, it's just a blessing. It's encouraging. And our church does this well. Last point here. So authentic church community and then compassionate mission. It's about loving my neighbor, about seeing and feeling real needs, mobilizing to meet real needs. And lastly, and very importantly, it is about prioritizing sharing the gospel. Sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of Jesus. Walk with me through this. Think about it. The Good Samaritan story is told by Jesus in response to a lawyer's attempt to get eternal life. So this story is about eternal life. So it's not just about that guy's bad day and him getting healed of those wounds. It's a story about eternal life. And it says in this story that the guy is seeking to justify himself. He's trying to get righteousness. So Jesus' story, the effect that it has, it's not just a story where we're supposed to look at it and go, oh, let's be like that Samaritan. No, the effect that it has is it reveals that this person, the person that Jesus is telling the story to, and really us too, that this person's pride and sin leave them unjustified apart from Jesus Christ. The greatest need that we or anyone has is righteousness given to us from Christ. This man is exposed as a man like you and me that doesn't have it apart from Christ. So, think about it. Because we love the Good Samaritan story. You say, well, look, I mean, hey, Matt, you know, we don't always have to share the gospel. I mean, come on, like, look at the Good Samaritan. Like, he did all these things. Like, he poured oil and wine and paid the innkeeper and did all this stuff. And, you know, he wasn't like, hey, can we go over this tract real quick? Like, you know, that didn't happen, Matt. That's awkward. Like, we don't need to do that, okay? All right. Let's actually discuss this. The Good Samaritan sought to meet all of this man's needs with everything he had to give. The Samaritan was not a Christian like you. If he was, he probably would have gave that too. He didn't know. So let's not use him as an example or as an excuse to not share about the good news of Jesus Christ with people. Mark 8:34, Jesus says, same Jesus that told the story of the Good Samaritan, okay? He says, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? So like if the Good Samaritan would have gave this guy the whole world, but his soul would have been forfeited. It wouldn't have been very loving, would it? Mark 1:38, Jesus, the story about Jesus and his ministry. It's really an amazing story, and you got to see this. Mark 1:38. So Jesus is healing all these people, praying for people, doing his ministry. And then he does it late into the night. He wakes up the next morning. He goes off to a remote and desolate place. And the disciples and Peter, they're all looking for him and they're angry with him. They're like, where are you, Jesus? More people want to get healed and we couldn't find you. And Jesus looks at them. Mark 1:38. Look what he says. Let us go on to the next towns that I may preach there also. For that's why I came out. Whoa. He's like, yeah, those sick people, I want to pray for them. I want them to be well, but I came to preach. I came to share about the kingdom of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, which in Jesus, it's like me. I came to share about the significance of me. So prioritizing sharing the gospel, it should be so paramount for us. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, "Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved. If you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain, for I delivered to you as of first importance." That's just underline it, right? First importance. We're not going to play tennis or play on the same baseball team for 20 years, and then I'll share the gospel with you, because if you ever, after I do that, find this passage, you're going to be like, what? That's first importance, man. Shared with you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. How can our mission truly be compassionate if we do not consider eternal misery in the relieving of that suffering through the cross, the blood, and the forgiveness of Jesus Christ? Authentic church community, compassionate mission. We could go back to last week, verse by verse teaching, Christ exalting worship. These are core values of our church that we're fired up about, that we don't intend to let slide. And I read at the beginning the article about restaurants in Raleigh, and I'm sorry if that made you hungry, but we're almost out of here. Here's another quote. "The food scene in Raleigh has grown over the decades to reflect the diversity of the city. But many of Raleigh's older restaurants are rooted in traditional Southern cuisine. And boy, are we grateful for them." And I was just thinking about that statement, and I was thinking about how would I want that to be written about our church. This would be my prayer. "The spiritual scene in Raleigh has grown over the decades to reflect the diversity of the city. But Fellowship Raleigh Church has remained rooted in biblical core values. Boy, are we grateful for that." So let me close in prayer and ask the musicians and the band to come back and lead us in response, a song of worship.